Welcome to the Get Radio Podcast, a weekly roundup of news, events and conversations from the radio. In a week that saw the start of the Six Nations, Winter Olympics and one day that it didn't rain across the county. As always, we love hearing about good news stories, whether from the socials, the papers and from all of you as well. In a week that saw Sportif Suzuki in Longhambra being named Regional Dealer of the Year, a new cafe could be coming to the Jam Factory site in Oxford. Bicester Town Council released its lineup of events for the town. The restaurant manager at Estelle Manor named the best in the world. A new Pilates and wellbeing centre planned for the Bicester area, and loads of football as well across the county. And of course, not forgetting your good news stories. Rob couldn't hear the rain one morning. Phil finished Stranger Things finally. And Hillary's eldest had a fab birthday with burgers, horror movies, and some new ink. Coming up on this week's show, a wonderful conversation with comedian Matt Richardson about a comedy gala that is coming up very soon. Also, a great chat with Martin from Octavia Freund about a Love Music Hate Racism gig happening soon. And of course, we'll get loads of activities to do with Zara from the Get Locals. Really looking forward to catching up with my next guest. We're going to be speaking to Daryl Cole and, of course, comedian Matt Richardson ahead of the wonderful Helen and Douglas House Comedy Gala, which is happening in March this year. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Morning.
All right, lovely stuff. Daryl, to come to you first and foremost, we've spoken before. We've had a chat and a conversation about Jago. Just fill us in and tell us the story about that and the wonderful help that Helen and Douglas House and what it means to you.
Yeah, and well, Jago was our second born. He was born in April of 2023. And to cut a long story short, at about 5 months old, he was diagnosed with an extremely rare genetic disorder called CACNA1E. Which you'll be forgiven if you've never heard of, because we never heard of it either. And there's only a handful of people around the world that actually ever really get diagnosed with it. And what that really meant for him was that he had a concoction of probably the worst type of symptoms you can imagine having as a parent to a child, including severe epilepsy. He would have seizures every day, profound developmental delays, severe dystonia. He was essentially just being tortured by this disease every single day. So that kind of snowballed and got worse over several months. And that kind of meant that we had to overnight become kind of every single member of the medical team that he needed, all rolled into one overnight. So everything from all of his medication regime and suctioning and oxygen and feeding tubes, and it inevitably led to exhaustion. And that's when we were then offered to be referred to Helen Douglas House, which initially we said absolutely not. We were holding on to a lot of hope at the time. And I think at that time, to be told you need to be referred to a children's hospice, it doesn't quite compute. So it took us a good few months, really. And thankfully, we turned that around after a few months and walked through the doors. And we were very wrong about the type of place that we thought Helen Douglas House was. We were met with extreme compassion, a very deep understanding. They didn't see Jago as a diagnosis. They saw him as Jago, and they made a lot of space for us as a family. They gave us 24/7 contact. They gave us respite stays. They enabled my daughter to be a child again. And they just kind of gave us everything that we would never had if we hadn't been referred, and without them. So we're extremely grateful for them.
As always, and any parent that I speak to from Helen Douglas House speaks so beautifully and eloquently and amazing, and do such justice to an amazing place that I couldn't even possibly imagine. It's more power to Daryl for coming on and speaking. I just wanted to sort of forward sell to the comedy gala that is happening, that is obviously raising money for Helen Douglas House. And Daryl, you're going to be speaking at this for the first time. And how are you feeling ahead of that?
speaker. I think after everything we've been through, I always said that I would be pushing myself outside of my comfort zone more often and doing a bit more. And this is exactly what that is. I've always enjoyed saying yes to Helen Douglas House, to anything they asked me to do. And it's not the first time I've done a bit of public speaking, but this is just on a completely different level. So I'm definitely nervous, but I'm really excited because it means a lot. Like it's a strange thing. It's a very special event because we went last year and it caught us at probably one of our lowest points. We were only a couple of months after Jago passed away in the November. So we went to that not really wanting to smile and not really wanting to laugh. And I think if you speak to anyone in our position, they would probably resonate with that. And it's something we still battle with now. But it gave us that. And I remember seeing Ed on stage and the room going completely silent and you could hear a pin drop, which is scary to think about. But to be given that type of platform to talk about your child in any respect, if it's a one-on-one conversation or it's a room full of 2,000 people, it's a complete no-brainer. But I'm definitely nervous about it.
I'm sure you'd be absolutely amazingly because you're doing it on radio and it's just exactly the same thing with you know, just a few people in front of you. So you'll be absolutely fine and amazing and more power to you, Darryl, for doing that. Matt as well, thank you so much for sort of sitting there.
My pleasure.
Let's move on to the Comedy Gala because you've been involved in this for a few years now. What does it mean to you?
So, but just for a point in history, Helen and Douglas House used to do a thing called Childish Things for 10 years, which was their comedy gala. It was at the New Theatre. They did it for 10 years and then it stopped for 10 years. And then when I was working at a rival radio station to you, Rich, in Oxfordshire, we started talking to them. Never heard. Well, you don't need to hear of them. They don't exist anymore. Jack FM, goodbye, RIP. And we were talking to Helen and Douglas and my boss there went, maybe Matt could book you a comedy night. And you think, oh yeah, a comedy night, like in a comedy club or, you know, a pub or something. And then Charlotte, who I run it with, was very ambitious and went, we should book the New Theatre again. And we booked it for the first time last year. I thought it was a bad idea to do it in such a big theatre. We sold every ticket and we raised £50,000 for the charity. Wow. And what I think is interesting is having someone like Darryl speak and last year Ed, is a lot of people know Helen and Douglas House, right? It's a very well-known local charity. I don't think they know exactly what they do and how amazing the work they do is. So people have come along because it's a nice local charity to support. There are some great comedians on. It's a good night. But that part of the night as well, I think, is so crucial because it's, you know, 1,800 people get to find out, you know, a proper story about why we're so lucky to have this charity local to us.
Yeah, and of course, added into that, as well as raising the awareness, which is highly important, as well as raising that incredible amount of money, the night itself, as Darryl sort of alluded to as well, it can be an incredibly tough time for sort of parents and people that have experienced going through sort of Helen and Douglas House. But actually, it is an amazing and powerful night of wonderful comedians as well that you've tapped into your little black book for.
Absolutely. Look, I think what's really good about comics is they're always up for doing these gigs. So everyone gives their time for free. They all come down. So this year we've got Ed Byrne, Zoe Lyons, Finn Taylor, Andrew Bird, who is a Bicester lad, Laura Smith, Scott Bennett, and the wonderful Esther Manito. And last year was incredible. It was one of my favourite gigs I've ever done in 15 years of comedy. Like, it felt really special. Everyone was hilarious. And I think there was that sense in the room that people were there for something a little bit more than just a really good laugh, which they got. Like, I think for the ticket price, bang for buck, it was a pretty great evening. But, you know, a girl I went to school with, Hayley, was in the front row. And I didn't know that she'd used Helen and Douglas with their son. And, you know, she got in touch afterwards to say, you know, it was a great night. And it's really important to go out and have a couple of hours where you can forget about, you know, the tough times. And I think having so many parents and people that have used Helen and Douglas really makes that night special.
No, and for you as well, being a local lad as well. There's that added special feeling of kind of having that link of being in the county, of putting an amazing night on, you know, and a beautiful place. As well. That I guess that, like you sort of alluded to.
Look, it's not a theatre I'm going to sell out on my own, so I have to get a charity involved. From a perfectly cynical point of view, if I want to play the New Theatre, there has to be something else involved. But it was such a good, it was so much fun, and I think like we're going to just keep doing it every year now because what's been really nice is loads of people have been in touch, going, I came last year. we're going to come every year. It's just a great night out. You know, it's on a Monday. It's obviously the 9th of March. And I just think, yeah, it's a fantastic night. Like, people love that variety of having lots of different comedians to see and getting a little flavour of everything. And I try and book it so there's a real difference between all the acts. And, you know, you get a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And obviously, you know, everyone on there, like, has done Live at the Apollo, Have I Got News for You? Like, Ed Burns, obviously a comedy legend. And it's just a great place to see it for what is still a good value ticket.
No, absolutely. And Daryl, just a final word from you. People sort of listening to this now and knowing how wonderful and great Matt is, of course, just got recently come back off his tour and putting this event on. But to people kind of listening to this right now and kind of going, oh, yeah, I kind of fancy that. You've got a final word for people to kind of get along and get a ticket.
Yeah, I think, Matt made a point about all the different types of people that are going to be there. And it's very true. I'll hold my hands up. And before all of this happened, I knew nothing about Helen Douglas House. I didn't grow up around here, but it feels like it's something that right in the heart of Oxford I should have known about. I'm almost embarrassed to say that. And I think part of this is trying to get the word out there so that everybody knows that it exists and what it is and how important they are, how big they are. They were the first ever made in terms of a children's hospice. It's quite incredible. And we are so lucky that it's right around the corner. We are, in particular, personally. But it's the service you never want to use. But if you ever have to, you've got it on your doorstep. And they need to raise about £6 million a year to keep keep the doors open and to staff the things. And they only receive about 10% in government funding. So the rest is raised through events like this. And it's so important that people help and just the community get involved and donate and fundraise. And this is a huge step in the right direction. But the more people that know about it, they can help to support people like ourselves who know firsthand how important that money is.
No, absolutely. And Matt, just buy tickets, get down there. No excuse, really.
But buy tickets, get down there. We have sold, we are sort of like past 75% sold now. Oh, so if you want your tickets, make sure you get them. It was a sellout last year and it was a night to remember. So make sure you're there.
Brilliant stuff. Well, look, it's been amazing catching up with you again, Matt. It's been wonderful catching up with you again, Daryl, as well. It's going to be an amazing night. That is absolutely for sure. And don't sleep on these tickets. Make sure you pick them up because it's going to be an absolutely wonderful and incredible night for raising money for Helen and Douglas House. Thank you both so much for joining me this morning.
Our pleasure. Thanks.
It's great stuff. Matt Richin there, of course.
Thanks, Rich.
Cole. Remembering his son, Jago, as well, which is, beautiful and amazing. That Daryl can come on and speak so eloquently and beautiful and wonderfully as well. So really, really great stuff. And as we say, get yourself down there. Helen Douglas House, the comedy gala happening in March. Just search for that online and you can get your tickets right now.
Time to have a little look at some events happening across the county this month. On the 28th of February, a chicken keeping basics workshop is coming to Oxfordshire, a practical beginner-friendly session covering everything you need to know from housing and feeding to health and daily care. It's ideal if you're thinking of getting chickens for the first time or just want to learn the essentials from experienced keepers. Just search chicken keeping basics Oxfordshire to find out more and book your place. And on the 26th of this month, Brat Forever is coming to the Bullingdon, a high energy club night celebrating bold pop, dance floor anthems and unapologetic vibes. Expect big tunes, late night energy and a crowd that is ready to party. Just search Brat Forever Oxford to grab your tickets. And don't forget, if you're organising an event, you can let us know. Just head to getradio.co.uk, click on Get Local and fill in all of the details.
Really looking forward to catching up with my next guest now, who is Martin Andrews from Octavia Freund, an amazing gig that is happening on Friday down at the Bullingdon. Love music, hate racism. And to talk more about that is Martin. Morning, Martin.
How are you doing, Rich? Nice to see you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for coming on. Well, look, let's just dive straight in. Let's talk about the gig on Friday at the Bullingdon, which is going to be absolutely amazing. It's under the banner of love music and hate racism. Just explain, tell us all about the coming about of this gig and why it's being put on and why you've kind of put it on, Martin.
Yeah, sure. So people in Oxford might not know, but Love Music Hate Racism is around the country, but there's an Oxford branch and they have been doing events over the years. I played one a few years ago down at Tap Social. So I kind of met the people then, but in the last 6 months, they realised that they wanted to relaunch, rebrand the organisation here, particularly with events happening around the country and particularly in light of there's a Together Alliance March on March the 28th, a real national push, an alliance about the music industry. Figures like, Sir Lenny Henry, Paul Weller, you know, Paloma Faith, these sort of people. So it's that big march. So the idea was this year in Oxford, can Oxford Love Music Hate Racism rebrand themselves, relaunch with a series of gigs? So we actually did start one in January and we had that down at the Bully and that went really well, really well. I put that the follow up one is this one, this Friday, 6th February. At the Bull in the main room, and then we're going to follow that up with one in March as well. So those three big gigs with big touring acts, with good support acts from Oxford musicians, is a way to kind of relaunch the brand, really.
Amazing stuff, and that sounds incredible. And the kind of it goes sort of hand in hand, you know, with political themes and music. They've always kind of walked that same line together. There's always been that unity. And of course, with mentioning about the
months right.
and what have you, and of course, the success of the previous events and events, I'm sure, coming up as well. There's always been this alliance between the music and the politics.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to go back to kind of the 70s. Like, if you really go back, it's, you know, it's been a response, particularly Rock Against Racism, which was around 1976, 1977, 1978. This is a famous gig where kind of, you know, you had The Clash, you had Steel Pulse, reggae band, punk and reggae music came together in London, in Victoria Park, about 100,000 people. You know, you got Joe Strum on stage there, Billy Bragg was there. All that energy was really Rock Against Racism. And that was a response to Eric Clapton doing a gig. And he kind of pretty much came out with quite racist stuff. And there was an article in Melody Maker at the time, and the music industry responded with Rock Against Racism and said, hold on a second. You know, the music industry now needs to get together and be unified against this. Whatever was happening politically or culturally in the country, they wanted to show an effort. And there was music was a way that you didn't have to be overtly political, but you could get involved and you could show some solidarity. You know what I mean? And I think we've kind of returned to those times when whatever your politics are, the music industry can kind of get organized and can kind of get people to kind of have a good time. And what the kind of phrase is, party with a purpose. So it's still a party, it's still a gig, but if you want to show unity about doing the right thing and having the right attitude with the kind of values of this country, then this is your chance to get involved.
And at these gigs,
so I think it's really important to know that history, really.
Yeah, you've raised such a massive and an important point as well. And I think you've touched on loads of actually really interesting sort of things as well as kind of knowing the history. And this sort of leads on to sort of my next question as well, a little bit. In terms of that, the feeling at these events, I know you've done one and want to do sort of lots more and what have you, but the feeling at these events, there must be an extra added bonus. When people go to gigs, they're already in a good mood, probably, because they're going to see their favorite band, like Your Good Self or something like that. They're already kind of out. They're already kind of, you know, maybe having a beer and enjoying themselves. But this, like you said, is that extra layer on top of that. So I guess my sort of question would be, the atmosphere at these gigs, there must be that kind of sense of, that sense of pride, that sense of unity, that sense of giving back a little bit and doing that little bit, as opposed to kind of you know, maybe sort of devoting your life to changing the world and what have you. You can show your solidarity by rocking up, by showing support at these gigs.
Yeah, so I mean, the first one, as I say, in January, Mel Streak, he's kind of like, he was like a Dublin artist. He's obviously connected with people like Fontaines DC and you know, so he's aware of, you know, growing up, that he kind of had that phrase, you know, no Irish, no blacks, no dogs or whatever, you know, this, that history. So when he's kind of touring and we asked him to come on, do this extra gig, he came down in January. It was a really, really, you know, busy, really celebratory night, but there's an extra energy in there, which was, it was just nice for people to celebrate seeing this touring act. He really put on a show, but they could also go to the store, they could chat to Julie Simmons, who organises everything in Oxford, Love Music, Hey Racism, and they could buy a t-shirt and they could feel that solidarity that they were there for a purpose beyond the music, which was this means something, because music is entertaining, but sometimes it goes to another level where it actually means something about life as well. So all we're asking is people to have a good time, also just have a little think about why we're doing this, you know what I mean, the context of doing this. So people will have a really good time. Like on Friday, we've got a 10-piece ska reggae act, you know what I mean, from Brixton. They've been going 25 years, they've been playing all around the world at festivals, and we've got them, you know what I mean? We want it to be a good gig and it's selling really well. But why I'm chatting to you now is like, we want to put that last little push out to say, look, you can have a good night on Friday, but also you can be helping as well, you know.
That's exactly it. And just to put a little bit more meat on the bones with Friday night as well as the reggae band, of course, local legend Count Skylarkin is going to be there. It's going to be an amazing night.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the fact we've put the word out, people responded, you know, Count Skylarkin, again, he's been doing music for 25 years.
Yeah.
And he will play for free, but whatever. He really loves Love Music, Hate Racing. He'll be there, you know, and he might be there for one in, we've got one in March as well, with Undercover Hippie on the 19th of March. So, you know, he's been really supportive. You know, we've got some really good support acts. So for the March one, I know we're talking about the February one, but for March one, we've got kind of Double Yellow Lines and No Worries If Not. And they're two up and coming acts, you know what I mean? We really want to push that as well. So it is a sense of Oxford music scene is part of this process. I mean, I played the first one, we had Charlie at the first one, DJ Simplex at first one. So, you know, we're trying to combine Oxford's love of music with kind of this kind of more national thing that's going on as well. So I think people have a really good time.
Yeah, and more power to you with all of that. I'm sure the event's going to be absolutely massive and successful, because it's a brilliant lineup, and if you're spearheading it, then it's going to be absolutely awesome. Assuming tickets available, just search for Love Music Hate Racism.
If you go to wegottickets.com and just put in Maroon Town for this one, Friday the 6th of February. Still some tickets left, but we sold quite a few. But yeah, you can still get a few more in, because we want it to be packed. And we're deliberately doing kind of like affordable solidarity tickets from about £11, £13. And that's a really good price to see the quality of acts. So do pick up a ticket if you can.
Brilliant stuff. Fantastic. I'm sure it's going to be an amazing night on Friday. Martin, thanks so much for coming on, for explaining as well, and just putting... just kind of the facts behind what on earth is going on, and it's going to be an amazing event on Friday, and I'm sure the one in March.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Rich, because, you know, when you go on the radio, you don't want to be too political, but I don't want to go too much into it, but there are things happening in Oxford with the far right, and, you know, now is the time to actually show that you care. So, and we've had that response, so come on, Oxford, we can do this.
Absolutely. Martin, really appreciate you coming on, and thanks for explaining everything, and yeah, as I say, more power to the gig on Friday. Cheers to that, mate.
Cheers, mate.
It's brilliant stuff. Martin Andrews there from Octavia Foreign, who's doing the Love Music Hate Racism gig at the Bullingdon on Friday, and as you've been hearing as well, another one in March, as that kind of gets another shot in the arm, which is absolutely awesome. Brilliant stuff.